Spectrum Business knows that you put in unlimited effort to unlock the unlimited possibilities of your small business. Get internet, mobile, phone, and TV services to connect all aspects of your business and see your business made limitless. Learn more at spectrum.com/business.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, from the rise of far-right politics to the detrimental effects of war and climate change, it's clear we're in the middle of a deteriorating state in the world. This year alone saw the devastating continuation of the war in Gaza, the re-election of Donald Trump, and the effects of climate change, which some people deny, but which are undoubtedly becoming clearer and clearer. Joining me now is Lara Marlow, Paris-based journalist, who is going to talk to us about the state of the world we're in at the moment. Lara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we are in, as to borrow from Sean O'Casey, in a state of chassis, as he would have put it, chaos in the world. It's wars and more.
Yes, it certainly is. And I don't mean to be a downer just before Christmas, but you can quote two men who know what they're talking about. One is Donald Trump, an agent of chaos himself, who on December 7th, I heard him say in Paris, "It certainly seems like the world is going a little crazy right now," which is almost an understatement. And the head of MI6, the British intelligence, said at the end of November, in 37 years as a spy, he said, "I have never seen the world in a more dangerous state." And I think that's undeniable. All the reasons you mentioned, the wars in Ukraine, Gaza, global warming, and we've even forgotten wars like Myanmar and Sudan, where tens of thousands of people are being killed.
And we'll be talking about Sudan later on in the programme. Are there any positive signs at all? I mean, Donald Trump has promised to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. Now, we don't believe that for a second, but we hear this morning that maybe Israel is edging towards some sort of a peace deal about the hostages, talking to the Qataris and where that might lead.
Yes, we've heard this many times before. But even if it is the case, Israel will continue to occupy Gaza. They're saying that they'll keep troops on the main road, and they reserve the right to intervene anywhere they want to at any time. It's far from peace for the Palestinians, and it's very far from the independent state that they want and deserve. So one can be very, very guardedly optimistic that at least the 100 Israeli hostages who are still being held might be released. Positive things, I think one must say that the departure of Bashar al-Assad, that the fall of that very cruel and ruthless regime, is a positive thing, but you have to hope that it won't be replaced by something equally as bad. We just don't know yet what is going to happen in Syria. Turkey and Israel are now the two powers who wield the most force there, and there are a lot of conflicts possible between Turkey, for example, and the Kurds. The Kurdish force, which is backed by the Americans, has been bombed by the Turks since Assad fell. And Israel is making a land grab in Syria. They've moved into the part of the Golan Heights that was not occupied by Israel. Netanyahu announced that he's doubling the number of Israeli settlers in the Golan Heights. So none of this is positive. And one doesn't know what the Iranians are going to do. They're very close to having a nuclear weapon. The Israelis have been dying to bomb Iranian nuclear facilities for years. That could be a very escalatory measure. I mean, there are all sorts of things that could push us into a real, well, I hate to say it, a world war. So it's frightening on all the fronts right now.
Now, talk to me about Trump. I mean, he has said himself in Mar-a-Lago, December 16th, that in my first term, everyone was fighting me. Now everybody wants to be my friend. And we see that, by the way, with all the tech giants parading themselves down to pay obeisance to Trump in Mar-a-Lago. We saw the capitulation of ABC News to Trump in that lawsuit. So many things going on that he does seem to be striding across the political scene with great confidence.
Absolutely. And foreign leaders as well. I mean, Macron and Zelensky, people who've had great difficulties with Trump. You remember Zelensky had an argument with Trump back in 2019 over whether or not his refusal to investigate Hunter Biden, and Trump never forgave him for that. Macron was very angry that Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. He pulled out of the Iran Nuclear Accord. And yet both of them are kissing up to Donald Trump. And foreign leaders, and also, you know, the tech giants and the media moguls who you mentioned, they realize that the only way to Donald Trump's heart is to flatter him. And there's been this outpouring of flattery from every quarter. What is missing is any sense of resistance to Trump's the measures which Trump promises, for example, mass deportations of immigrants, his enemies list. No one seems to care enough to oppose him anymore, or perhaps they feel it's just too much, too powerful. There are no demonstrations like you remember in Washington the day after his inauguration in 2017. There were hundreds of thousands of women wearing pink, what they called pussy hats, after Trump's saying, you've got to grab them by the pussy. There's no sign of any kind of protest anymore. And one has the impression that people who realize the danger represented by Trump are just kind of pulling back into their cocoons and are resigned to another 4 years of Donald Trump and whatever comes after.
There are those who say, you know, he won't even go in 4 years' time when his time is up, his second term having been completed, that he may attempt to change the rules so he can stay on for a further term.
Exactly. He did actually say at one point that he would like to serve three terms. He'd have to change the Constitution to do that. But for Donald Trump, nothing is sacred, including the Constitution.
CarMax knows that finding the right car is all about exploring your options, like the option to shop your way on your schedule. At CarMax, you can browse, compare, and pre-qualify online, then finish up at the store, or simply start on the lot. The choice is yours. Because at CarMax, you're in the driver's seat. Start the search for your next car today at CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Now, the question then of, I mean, it's what Putin did himself to make himself a permanent president of the Russian Federation. Putin seems to be in some difficulty at the moment. The fall of al-Assad was a huge disappointment to him, I'm sure. All the effort that they spent and resources in Syria, all to no avail in the end. And it warns us, and this time is the time of year when the Ceausescu's fell, if you remember, how quickly a despot can be removed. And it happens so suddenly that everybody, including the victim, is surprised.
Yes, well, that's a very interesting precedent. I would be very surprised if Putin fell over the Christmas holidays. But it would certainly be a good thing. I think he keeps threatening to use nuclear weapons. Last month, he fired an intermediate range ballistic missile at the Ukrainian city of Dnipro. And this missile, which is called the Oreshnik, that means hazelnut, has multiple reentry vehicles, and it's meant to carry nuclear warheads. So he's upping the stakes in his threats to use nuclear warfare and his threats to unleash World War III. Now, it's been pointed out that Putin is terrified of dying. That's why during COVID, he spent a huge amount of money on protection for himself. You remember he had that long white table that was about 20 feet away from his interlocutor. In fact, the cartoons of him and Bashar al-Assad sitting at either end of that table. Donald Trump, this was in Bob Woodward's book recently sent him anti-COVID drugs as a gesture of friendship. So Putin is afraid to die, and one would think that a man who so fears death would not unleash World War III, would not use nuclear weapons, but it's thought that he could use, say, a tactical battlefield nuclear weapon just as a sort of prod. And now in this interregnum with Joe Biden basically dysfunctional and Trump not yet president, this would be a good time for Putin to do something outrageous. He's very angry, no doubt, about the assassination of General Igor Kirillov yesterday. Kirillov was in charge of radioactive, chemical, biological preparation for the Russian army. And he was accused by the Ukrainians of having used chemical weapons in Donbass. And the day before he was assassinated, they put up on the SBU intelligence organization's website a photograph of Kirillov, and it said wanted. And then right after he was killed by a booby-trapped scooter in Moscow yesterday, they put up a sign on his photograph saying liquidated. And now this is not the first assassination inside Russia carried out by the Ukrainians. But Medvedev, the former president, who's now a high-ranking security official, says they will avenge the murder of General Kirillov. So things are not going to calm down.
Now, in Europe, we see Macron's difficulties in Paris. I'm not sure how stable the government is going to be over the next while. Olaf Scholz has decided to try and put manners on things by contriving to have a snap election, which takes 3 months. It's kind of ironic, to try and sort things out. Because the rise of the right in Europe and also the interference by Russia in elections in Moldova, in Romania, in Georgia, I mean, it is a very worrying time. The specter of Nazism arises.
Yes, well, Stalinism and Nazism, it's interesting that Putin is rehabilitating Stalin. There are statues of Stalin going up all over in Russia. He's outlawed Memorial, which was an NGO that won a Nobel Peace Prize, which cataloged the crimes of Stalin. The AfD, the Alternative für Deutschland party in Germany, is a very extreme right, and it has 77 seats in the Bundestag. And all the other political parties in the Bundestag have fielded a motion to, they want to outlaw the AfD. So to have what some consider to be a neo-Nazi party actually represented in the Bundestag is very, very frightening. And actually, even Trump himself was said by several of his former very close collaborators to have admired Hitler and to have praised Hitler's generals. So there is this very unpleasant parallel to the 1930s and to the rise of fascism. And one doesn't really see how this progression of extreme right-wing parties can be stopped. In Italy, the prime minister's roots are in the fascist party with Mussolini. She used to admire Mussolini. You have a far-right party in Sweden that came in second in the last elections. You've had Bolsonaro is out of power now in Brazil, but he's another autocrat, populist, and he won 49% of the vote in the last election. You just had the president of South Korea impeached because he's on the extreme right and had declared martial law in Korea. So this is a worldwide trend, and it's hitting Europe especially hard. I watch French politics very closely, and a lot of people think it's inevitable that Marine Le Pen will succeed Emmanuel Macron. And part of the problem with this is that these far-right leaders, for the most part, like Vladimir Putin, many of them have been funded by Vladimir Putin. And if they are in cahoots with Russia, it's very hard to see how Russia's infringement of its former Soviet sphere can be stopped. And it would probably go beyond that because it would have a foothold in Western Europe.
How short people's memories are. 1945, the defeat of the Nazis, and then the colonization of all those Eastern European countries within the Soviet Union, how quickly they have forgotten. I don't know whether we can look forward to 2025, but Lara, thank you very much for setting the scene for us. That's Lara Marlow, Paris-based journalist.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Curb your cravings this winter with My Mochi Ice Cream. Rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, soft dough. My Mochi Ice Cream is gluten-free and comes in tons of amazing flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream. Your taste buds won't believe it's only around 70 calories per piece. Indulge in the joyfully chill flavors of My Mochi Ice Cream today. Look for the purple box of My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a store near you.